Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Can I just say a special word of thanks to everybody in Brooks Hotel where we're recording this episode.
It's a nice...
Brooks Hotel in the centre of Dublin. Very reasonable rates.
Brooks Hotel.
On Drury Street.
We're giving away one night at Brooks Hotel and one evening dinner. All you got to do is answer the question. Knock Basilica is in which county? Cork, Kerry or Mayo? Maura, over to you.
Name the famous Tommy who sings at the Knock Basilica.
Is it Tommy Fleming?
Tommy Tiernan or?
Tommy Fitzpatrick.
Tommy Bo. But yeah, so special thanks to them.
Yeah, thanks Minutan and everyone. And, it's always nice.
Tommy, like,
you can get used to hotels, man.
I don't know.
Do you? But what? I don't know. Like, do you? What's,
no, I never get used to
it.
You stay in the shit ones.
Yeah, but I get good ones and then I get bad ones, Tommy. Yeah. I don't like old-fashioned hotels, and I'm going to be straight up with you.
When you say old-fashioned, what do you mean?
I don't like when you can't open the window.
That's not old-fashioned.
Yeah, it is.
It's a no,
old-fashioned.
A lot of these old, a lot of, not Brooks. Now, don't get me wrong.
Brooks, the old ones.
A lot of hotels. Okay, let's lock it down with a screwdriver here, because nobody went out the window. And then there's a net curtain on it. And then, and the bed is about 7 foot high, 19 pillows. But then when the bed is made, they've got about 17 velvet cushions just to plump it all up. Stop, would you?
Are you, can I ask you a personal question?
Well, you can't ask me, but I might answer it. When you don't need to be asking personal questions.
Why not, Larissa?
We're all like, go on, what is it?
When you're in the hotel... Now.
Are you deeply uncomfortable?
Deeply, go on.
Have you noticed about you? I know you live on your own in a bungalow in the country, so it mightn't. I know you and the beloved live on your own in a bungalow in the country, so this mightn't be true of you. But
I'm like Porrick Flynn, I have many homes.
go on. Thinking back on.
Just spit it out, will you?
Will you fucking wait?
Wait for this.
I have to drag it out.
Go on.
Have you noticed about yourself that when you are making love in hotel rooms, that you're make more noise than you do when you're at home?
I'd say you'd make less noise in a hotel than you would at home, because at home you're in the countryside, nobody can hear your screams.
Get off me! Get off me!
Help!
You said you only wanted to spoon me!
Oosh!
Yeah, in a hotel, obviously, you'd be a little bit more conscious.
Screams from an Irish bungalow.
Be a little bit more conscious.
Are you more up for making love in hotel rooms than you would be at home?
No need to make everything so bloody
is
personal.
Is it the new sheets? Is it the fresh and the crispiness? Nice. Is it like the loads of hot water?
Talking to you, Larissa, it's like having a conversation with a fucking handball alley. They just... Your words just keep bouncing back.
How's that going to improve your day by knowing whether I like making love in a hotel or not?
No, in general, like...
I'm talking about in general,
just the bed, the crispy bed sheets.
How are you...
Do you men... No, sorry. Sorry, I'll rephrase this. Are men more inclined and more hornier when they're in a hotel room than they are when they're at home in their own beds?
I don't think so. I think that you'd be keeping an eye on the filly. And you'd notice that she's a bit more kind of, the filly might be a bit more at ease and under less pressure. Because when,
But the situation.
Well, there's other people at home, that's maybe when you go to
exactly.
So now, you see, the other thing is, if you're, if you go to hotels regularly,
yes,
and you spend a lot of time there, is there any excitement in going to a hotel? Just mean, is there that like?
I don't well, it's a refuge.
Yeah, I think Irish people will always be there. Be a little bit of excitement in Irish people getting to a hotel.
Like when you think about it, it's incredible. This so Brooks is located right in the city centre in Drury,
brilliant,
in Drury Street. Like I'd walk out of the door, and I'm in the middle of the busiest part of the country.
Yeah,
there are hundreds, sometimes thousands of people. It's a huge commercial area. It's loads of shopping. It's business. It's everybody looking at everybody. It's a frantic atmosphere of socialisation. And I know that if I just take three or four steps in this direction, I can get into a bed.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about hotels. Mm. That in the middle of the city,
a refuge,
there's a bed for you.
I'd love
close
to
close the door and just
silence.
Yes. I like getting into bed in the afternoon in the nip.
Nice, Tommy. You're embracing the nipness.
And just spread and
sprawling.
Feel,
that's the word we use.
In a very non-sexual way, Loretta, just feel the freshness of the sheets on me gonads and me soft lad.
Lovely.
And me belly.
Are you in the nip now?
I'm in the nip. And sometimes I might like roll over onto my stomach to have a snooze before the show and I'd feel that. Do you know the sheet gently settles on your back and on your bottom like an ad for Lenore or chocolate. And I love that, Louis. I love that.
But do you not hate when the bed sheets are like bolted in around the edge of the
mattress? Yeah, I have to kick them with my feet at the bottom.
You have to pull them out. Wreck the bed first before you get into it. But do you feel, I'd love to actually have somebody on here, like a hotel manager or somebody come in here.
Oh, yeah. Some of the filth they have to find in the
lawn. Tell us about the filth. And the
shenanigans.
Stuff, and the like mentalness.
As the fella said, the shit in the sheets.
Did they?
I'd say there was a fair amount of that now. And
but I would love to, what's the weirdest, the like maybe people that are listening that are hotel managers might let us know. What's the weirdest thing that you could find in a hotel? I told you about the time I found the two.
A body in the wardrobe was the weirdest thing.
You found the vibrator in the south of England.
I found two, what do you call those?
Nuns.
What would you call a thing that has drugs in it? A cigarette, but it's
a joint.
A joint, two joints.
Drugs.
What do you call drugs in a cigarette?
A joint. I found two joints in a little plastic container in the mini bar of a hotel once.
Wow. Did you leave them or take them with you?
Can't remember.
You're so fucking secretive. What way were you reared in Mayo that you're so afraid to share personal details for fear of...
Did you put them...
Is it the fear of the... I must have told you the story of this when, as you know, the Tiernan's a great Mayo family.
Yes.
Right. And...
you just say nothing. There's no need to be telling people your business.
But that's
a Mayo thing.
That's
there,
a Mayo thing. So what happened was... my great grandfather, they moved from Lewisburg down to Kilmaine and they got a dose of TB. And the TB was, it hurt everybody in the house. Like it got into the rooms and the walls and everybody suffered from it. And a good lot of them died. This would have been my grandfather's family, his brothers and sisters. And then they decided to move from Kilmaine. I'm getting the name. It was near Shrewl.
Kilmaine is near Shrewl.
Yeah, but they moved. They moved from Kilmaine to another place near Shrewl. I can't remember the name of the parish. And when they left, the parish priest in Kilmaine stood up at mass and said to the congregation, "So the Tiernans have gone. The Tiernans have left one parish and moved
to
another."
The next parish, yeah.
And the parish fucking priest stood up at mass. He may as well have been on the fucking late at mass. And he declared to the congregation, "The source of the infection is gone." Now,
So were they forced to move?
No, they moved it of their own accord. I guess they might have felt that the house was
cursed
and they got a farm in the next parish and kind of stuff. So what's interesting to me is that I was either on radio or on television and I told that story. And I was contacted. Now, this would have happened in the
60s.
So my father was born in 41. So it was when
30s, 20s.
So it would have been when his father was a child. So you're talking.
Well, TB was rampant in the west of Ireland.
So the turn of the century, maybe. So you're talking about over 120 fucking 20 years ago. And I told that story that I've just told you on radio or television. And I was contacted. I was contacted by a Mayo relation of mine who said to me, "You're not to be telling them stories on the national airwaves. You're only giving ammunition to our enemies."
Yeah, I understand them.
So that's that is a Mayo thing for sure. Oh, yeah. You just keep
your mouth shut.
You'd be afraid of what other people would be thinking of you. You'd be afraid of giving people information that might... Because I don't think... Now, it's probably in other counties, but it's just interesting that you would say that, and then I remembered this book in Mayo. Because I've never come across that in Mead, that kind of...
Sorry, there sounds like there's an animal in here.
It's the wind outside, Larita.
There's no animal in here.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, it's I just thought there might be someone listening to us or something.
Was that person in any way related to you?
Yeah, one of my relations, I said. A Mayo
relation. So they're still circling the wagons all these years later.
There's no need to be... Like, you're in for me. Your personal business is your personal business, and there's no need to be hanging your laundry out in public or whatever they call it.
But there's no need to be ashamed of your laundry, Larita.
Yeah.
I would sometimes... You know,
I think that's what
happened. Yeah, well, maybe you should take a leaf out of your relations book and keep some of that stuff that you'd be saying to yourself.
I love showing me laundry to the neighbours and to anybody who wants to look at it.
And the boxers.
And the boxers and the tongs.
Like, there's no...
And the semen-stained pyjamas. We're all human. We're all human, Larita.
Yeah.
Share the stories. Break down the barriers.
Yeah, maybe the next generation.
But is there something in the DNA of the West of Ireland people compared to the rest of the country where they just...
It's country living, you see.
Yeah, but we grew up in the countryside in Navan.
You know, there was always this
Navan
thing
is
of...
Navan is the countryside.
You know, it was always this thing of, if someone else had a bit more land than the others, it would be like kind of boastful and you'd be just keeping stuff on the down low.
Some people in families don't like when you...
Share.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure we all share and overshare on this podcast. It's not like I'm here.
What do you mean? You never say nothing about yourself.
You tell us absolutely
nothing. I tell you no. I tell you more than I need to tell you.
You know more about my family and all the aunties and uncles and everything.
What do you want to know? It's tell us boring stuff.
Tell us interesting stuff. Who's got a berry?
Do you shout when you let go of yourself? Are you a screamer?
I can't be telling you that. There's no need for you to know. It's better for your own imagination to have it your own way.
I'll tell you what I shout when I come.
What? No. You say, you've already told us. You don't need to tell us again. Keep it to yourself. There's absolutely, you're no benefit to society passing on that sort of stuff. You probably say a decade of the rosary. You're so holy now. No,
Jesus Cristo!
No, what I say is, do you remember when Andy Gray was commentating on Liverpool versus Olympiacos and Steven Gerrard scored the goal to send them through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League? That's what I shout when I come.
What?
What a hit, son! What a hit!
I was watching something last night called George and Tammy, George Jones and Tammy Wynette, because my country music, you know, interests are... Yep. I don't know if you've watched. Yes. Started watching it, it's on Paramount. It's called George and Tammy.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, Tammy Wynette's some woman. She was married 5 times. Mm. She must have married every man she got to know.
Was she a huge star? Tammy Wynette,
yeah. And she sang a song called D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Convenient song for a woman that did divorce about 5 times. And George,
you sound like you're judging her there on that.
No, I'm not. I'm interested. I was talking the other day on the podcast about, you know, somebody meeting someone and how almost you think impossible it is to meet someone and spend the rest of your life with them when there's so many people in the world.
Yeah, but you might
I'm interested in her
that,
now. She had five. She got married 5 times. What?
But living with someone the rest of your life is not that hard because you mightn't live that long. Do you know?
Yeah, but
it's only time.
Isn't there great excitement in the 60s and all them? They had no inhibitions.
And who did she marry? Who did she marry?
Drugs, they were drinking, they were having sex with everyone, they were getting married. They didn't give a fuck
on
about
the road.
Getting married. They were on the road. One of the people she married was George. She married
and was there
George
any abuse or any violence or anything? Did they ever go pear-shaped?
Sure, it was all that kind of... It was weird.
Tina Turner had an awful bad time as well, didn't she?
Do you think it was worse in the 60s than it is now? And do you think
what?
You know, like they're always saying about the drugs and sex, the rock and roll, all that in the 60s. Is it as bad now or is it less?
I think it was a magnificent time, the 60s. I'd love to be.
Are there more drugs?
Sex and rock and roll. Like, is sex and drugs and all of that now more accepted? Are they?
I don't know. I leave me cock at home when I'm going on the road. You're looking at a mannequin here. I have a detachable.
Screw off, screw on.
You have a strap on, have you?
Yeah, no, detachable gonads.
Look at
gonads.
The '60s were, they say, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. All them eras, the punk movement, the apartheid thing, the nuclear, like there's all these things that happened. I just think we're getting too bland now. There's no sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Nobody steps out of line, rock and roll wise. It's all manufactured.
If anything happens,
imagine if you're back in the '60s in Woodstock or back in the height of the '60s flower power, where ganja and free love was everywhere. It must have been magnificent.
Yeah.
Must have been magnificent. What's magnificent now? What thing is happening around the world now that we go, wow, I was part of that.
You can't have any crack.
I was part of that movement. I was part of the punk movement that used to hang around fucking Stephen's Green with the Golden Horde and Dublin in the late 80s when everyone had a Mohican and Doc Martens and skinheads and punks because they loved a certain type of music.
But you can't have any
now
crack now.
We're all bland.
No, we're all boring. We're taking things
too seriously. What movement are we part of now? Dressing up as Scaz when we were younger. People in Navan who had fucking Mohicans, we thought they were the coolest dudes ever. There's no movements anymore. And when you step out of line, it's all, fucking look at your man, look at her, look at him. They're fucking weird. Do you know what I mean?
There's no
movement.
Hector, we're part of the Crazy Owlad movement.
No, you're gone past.
Well, there's a movement we could start. The Crazy Owlads. Crazy Owlads.
Just Owlads who don't give a fuck. Just fascinated with their own sphincters and...
And you know, play fucking
you'd be
music.
The fucking chairman of the board there, I can tell you that, Tommy, for sure.
But Larita,
meetings once a
what
week.
What movements are out there now? What movement are you part of? Are we part of? There's nothing happening out there.
I wish I could go on today with Dahi and Maura and just start a movement of sphincter acceptance and...
Appreciation club.
The Sphincter Appreciation Society.
I don't know where it's come from.
Do you know what I mean?
It's deep in your bowels.
And you can
do it.
You can clench and unclench your sphincter and no one need know about it. And you're just...
I've actually
and you'd just be, I'd be sitting at mass.
Does your sphincter talk to you?
I'd be sitting at mass or at a parent teacher meeting and
playing away with your sphincter.
I would just be clenching and unclenching, getting little sphincter buzzes while they're telling me about how much homework one of my kids is doing or not doing.
You missed out big time when you were in your late 30s.
Tommy.
Not to become a drug smuggler and get stuff put into your sphincter and get it removed at different times. These are things you should keep to yourself.
The sphincter.
You see,
has come
that's
up
what I'm talking
time
about.
And time
oversharing.
Again.
There's a great, like, at least I'll never be, convicted of oversharing. You, on the other hand.
We're living in a golden. We're on there about things that we are living in, and I know for a fact we're living in a golden era. Because what I saw.
What does that mean?
We're living in a golden era. One particular thing. And there's a movement happening. And I saw it in the All-Ireland Junior Club semi-final when Fossa from Kerry beat Castletown from Meath. And as the young lad left the pitch, about 250 kids swarmed him.
The semi-final,
Cucullin. And I was blown away by the image of that was happening on the pitch as David Clifford was swarmed by
the opposite side of his sphincter.
Hundreds of young people. And I'm going, there's Cucullin in the flesh. There's a Christy Ring in
the
flesh.
He's a superhero.
There is a superhero that is in front of my eyes. And look at the adulation he's getting on a pitch in Portlaoise on a Sunday in the middle of winter. And hundreds of kids around them. Not 10 or 20. Hundreds idolising him and trying to get close to him.
I love that he doesn't care about any of it. He just loves
him. That man is just... I think it's... Forget about Sky. And we love United and we love Liverpool and all that. Forget about it. What we're witnessing at the moment with Clifford is just... There will be a statue of him because he's a player of all generations, possibly the greatest GA player ever to take a ball in his hand. Now, I'm going to say that, and maybe you'll have your own opinion, but what I saw then when those kids, Tommy, you've never seen anything like it. You couldn't see the pitch with kids trying to get close to him. Amazing. Amazing. Fucking amazing what's happening there. And he's an unassuming man. Player of the year. In the Player of the Year, Senior Man of the Match in the All-Ireland Final, Man of the Match in the All-Ireland Junior, won the All-Ireland, won the league, wins everything.
Is he a tall man?
He's 6'3" or 6'4". He's
and
big.
Also, what's hilarious
Tommy.
About Kerry, he must have about 3 county medals because he won a county medal for Junior and then the
Would you like to meet him,
teams.
Hector?
I've never met him.
Would you like to?
I'd just shake his hand. I met a couple of the Kerry footballers on their way to Mauritius, but Clifford wasn't on the plane because he was still with Fossa. But...
What would you say to
there's
him?
There's a picture of him
hold
and Toddy.
What would you say to him, Hector?
I don't know, but there's
Put
a
arms around me, David. There's just hold me.
Look at my muscles. I'd David, say, I've got muscles and they're bigger than yours.
No, Bernard Brogan said you're...
Spoon me, David.
Strong, Hector.
Spoon me.
Remember what Bernard Brogan said to me.
I remember what his brother said to me about it. He was laughing about the two E.
Right. Clifford, if I met Clifford.
Hold me, David.
Where would I have met him? Would I meet
prison.
Him?
In prison.
Me in
no, if I met him It'd in a like foyer, if I met him on the street, I would go up
you'd
to
you'd be looking at, you'd be all nervous, would you?
I'd say, David, can I get a hug?
And you could say, it's going to, it'll look.
And we just hold, clench, yeah. clench.
But I think you'd probably turn your back into him.
I would so put my head at the side of it and nuzzle into his earlobe and just go, David, keep doing
Spoon
what you're
me.
Doing.
Spoon
keep
me, David.
Doing what you're doing. There's a picture of him and Paddy. I think it was for the club championship, and the two of them are in their sitting room and they have it. It's beautifully done and they've all the trophies that they've won, and they've done the same with TJ Reid and the boys in Ballyhale. Like, they're golden. We're living in a golden era.
Don't tell anyone about it.
No, but David Clifford is the greatest player
ever
take the ball. And all the greats that have gone. All the greats. All the greats of Meath.
Has he in Dublin. Like he's about to jump up off the chair.
He's among us.
Yeah, but
he's walking among us, Father.
Has he achieved the greatness yet?
Yes, he has.
What else could you
Tommy,
achieve?
He's walking among us as one of our own.
Okay, so and
he
I
won an All-Ireland minor medal.
This yeah. young lad
scored
is,
something okay. like three, he's down four in his goals and 4 points in the All-Ireland
this
final.
Young lad is probably in Dingle now at the moment ordering a coffee. He's walking amongst us. He's here. He's not, it's not, and he's
I
real.
Hope he fulfills his potential is what I'm saying.
He has it already fulfilled.
Tommy.
He's only won one All-Ireland.
What are you talking about? He's Tommy. He won a minor All-Ireland. He's won a club All-Ireland.
He's won player of the year.
He's player of the year.
Oh, he's
won an All-Ireland. You can only do so much in one year.
Unbelievable.
Like.
So let's meet
he's
again.
24 years
Let's
age.
Meet again in 10 years' time.
What is greatness what to won. You in GA, in sport?
Greatness to me in sport, I like. I'd be more.
What's that what you like, though?
Is it trophies is great for you? Do you want trophies to
no,
be
I
the best?
No.
George Best didn't win many trophies.
For me, it's memories. And so I'd have an awful soft spot for George Best.
Okay.
No, but we're talking about Gaelic.
No, we're talking about greatness.
Why are you so angry?
I haven't angry.
We'll come back to Gaelic in a second here.
And
really.
I
He's
have,
not about greatness in
and
sport.
I have an awful soft spot for Alex Higgins.
Yes.
Genius. I have an awful, because Alex was kind of, he played the game like it was a game, not like it was a sport. He approached the table and he says, what can I do here that's inventive and creative and magical and slightly mental? I have an awful, the most moving sporting thing I've ever seen was Cathy Freeman win the 400 metres at the Sydney Olympics. I wept like...
Who remember she from?
Like Mary Magdalene.
She was an Australian Aboriginal.
An Aboriginal woman.
Who defied all the
And the
odds.
Pressure on her to win was...
In Sydney.
Oh, it was just moving.
I'd Apart from her now, you've a penchant for...
So hang on, let me go on. So that's three. So George Best, Alex Higgins, Cathy
yes.
Freeman. I would have a huge grow for, let me see.
Venus
for,
Williams
for
in our
Joe
prime.
Joe Canning, obviously. Like something about Joe that I like. Jack O'Shea, there's something about Jack.
Magnificent midfielder.
Cullum. An officer's back for Cullum O'Rourke.
Graham, Trevor.
No, I don't know. They're like...
Johnny Murta in his prime in the saddle. Johnny. No.
I think I'm attracted to mavericks.
Yeah.
I think I'm attracted to people who, in terms of sport, who aren't like the others and who are a bit... They mightn't win stuff, but
I know
there's something...
I think he's elegant.
You seem to like the ones that have...
They're all flawed. He likes flawed. He likes flawed. He had Fred a couple of weeks ago. You like flawed
pretty,
people.
Pretty boy flawed.
Like all the fellas that couldn't sustain...
I will get you some clips of Clifford. And he comes across...
No, I've seen him. I think he's
comes
brilliant.
Across brilliant. In the,
I think he's incredible.
But when I saw those hundreds of kids flocking onto the pitch and he spent half an hour with as much signatures and autographs and everything he could do, we are living...
Does he have a day job?
I don't know what Clifford does.
Well, he plays Sigerson for UL
He's a college
so
boy.
He must be in college.
Those sporting moments, those things that you're saying, like, yeah, for me, one of the great sporting things that just took my breath away and I got goosebumps and the hair rose on the back of my head was when I was down in New Zealand and the first game of the All Blacks against the Lions, 2005. Brian O'Driscoll was the Irish captain, just been voted player of the year. He was the warrior from the Northern Hemisphere, our Cú Chulainn, who was going down to take on the Maoris in their home. The whole world was watching it up here, and the All Blacks comes to a standstill. It's like All-Ireland final day around Croke Park. Quiet, except for the roar of the stadium. 80,000 people in Wellington, and we're all in the stadium, and 3 minutes into the match, Tana Umaga and Kevin Mayalamu grab O'Driscoll underneath on each leg, lift him 6 foot in the air and slammed him into the ground in a spear tackle.
Yes.
And the stadium just went, and O'Driscoll lay there.
Yes.
And the Irish warrior, the captain of the Lions, was taken out of the match within 2 minutes. His tour was over. Busted shoulder. And I'd never seen anything like the ferocity. I can hear the crunches of the All Black tackles in the crunch and in the tackle. It's like the impact. And I'd never witnessed the ferocity of the All Blacks up front taking on the Lions. And to be in that stadium on that moment when Brian O'Driscoll, who was supposed to going to have a great tour, was gone. He was in a hospital 45 minutes later. Madness. Sport is madness, isn't it?
But what? You started off that by saying it was a great sporting moment.
Yeah.
And then that's an assault.
No, but that, it was being in that stadium at that time.
You mean the noise?
Yeah, everything about the atmosphere. But then that moment.
Was there anger amongst the fans?
That moment where the captain is gone.
But was there anger?
Of course there's anger. It was just.
So what do people do? How do they express their anger?
It was just the atmosphere was fraught. But there's just the assault of the Maoris on the best player on the pitch from the Northern Hemisphere. And he was Irish. And he was our best player. And he was gone.
But what happened then, Hector?
Taken out.
What happened then?
Then the All Blacks just fucking took over the match and just blitzed us.
But did it feel grossly unfair?
Of course it was. I went on national radio in New Zealand the next day fucking trying to defend it. And you wonder, it was like...
Trying to defend
that Brian O'Driscoll, that these boys should be suspended.
Trying to attack, you mean?
No, I'm defend. They were going. They were defending.
Confused now. We're getting.
You were attacking.
I was attacking them, and they were going, "What's wrong? It was only a tackle." I said, "It was a spear tackle. It was an absolute disgrace."
Tana
Umaga and the whole lot of them. They did him.
He's not a fucking javelin. He's a man.
They did him. Yes. They took him out of it. But just to be there in that stadium on that particular moment.
But did they not get dealt with at the time?
No, Umaga played the rest of the tour.
Bad bastards.
Mad. It was just... And Brian O'Driscoll, his tour was over. So I was there.
Did you ever meet the Yamagas and the Tamalamas?
No. Never met them. But I met Brian O'Driscoll then in the pub about a week later in the shoulder. And that's where we came up with the song. What's the start of Ireland's call? Come the day and come the hour. Come the... Richard Cooper, we came up with a thing and it goes... What's the chorus of Ireland's call?
Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Ireland. No, we said, Ireland, together standing tall. Shoulder to shoulder. Umaga, you never called. Because he never called him to say sorry for what he did for smashing his shoulder. And I'll hold that against Tana Umaga forever. The captain of the All Blacks took out Brian O'Driscoll. Anyway, that was just a moment in sport.
Well, I'm curious as to what the feeling in the stadium was.
The stadium was fraught with fucking tension and rivalry and atmosphere. The Lions supporters,
they took all the crack out of it when they
did that. Yeah, yeah, but it was just that the best player on the pitch is gone. Yeah. Now he's been carted off on a fucking stretcher.
And was Brian himself, when you met him 10 days later, was he...
He was...
Human or was he settled?
He was settled. He'd had a couple of drinks with him and he was just pissed off.
Roy Keane said a very interesting thing to me once upon a time. He says, when momentum is going against you in a match, and you also, we've all seen it where in a sporting occasion where one team just has... And it's almost like the other team has to endure it until it naturally fades away.
Yeah.
But Keane said a really fascinating thing to me. He said, when that's happening, and he would have noticed it as a player, he said, okay, this team now, they're in the ascendancy. They are...
Momentum is rising.
You need to break it, do you?
You said you break the momentum with something dramatic.
Yeah, what like?
You can't wait until it fades away of its own accord because the match might be beyond your...
Crowd are getting behind them.
Yeah. He said, you got to do something.
Foul someone.
You have got to fucking... Injure them. You have got to be the Moses parting the Red Sea. You have got to be the man who stands against the crowd and does something fucking huge that changes the momentum. And for him, he was saying at the time, it could be a tackle.
Yeah.
You deliberately go and you say, I am going
it's
to
a yellow card
this
all day long.
Fucker spinning through space because that's the only way to change the dynamic of the situation.
Yes.
And I'm wondering in that rugby match,
Tommy.
What could have been done after that, Hector? what could have been.
I think the rest of the Lions were in shock. I think the island rose to their feet because the All Blacks, you're dealing with the tradition of the Brits. They considered the Lions to be the Brits,
but with
coming
the New
down
Zealand
to the
crowd.
South Island, to the Commonwealth, to the island where the Brits took over.
The island.
Obviously the Scottish men, Scotsmen, Welsh, Irishmen involved with the Lions, but they consider the Lions to be the English Empire coming down again to impose themselves on their colony in the South Seas. And that's the feeling that was in there.
But they're fucking, apart from the Maoris, white people in New Zealand are mad for English shit. They do nothing but watch fucking Michael McIntyre spinning the wheel and fucking catchphrase and spin the shit and...
Is it all English programmes?
EastEnders and Coronation Street.
They're fucking mad for that. They're still sucking on the Commonwealth tit down there. It's a surrogate culture. It's not real. It's like Australia and
Canada.
It's
interesting, isn't it?
You get countries like that, America less so, but you get countries like that who are, they're civilizations built upon another culture. And the less that the civilization recognizes the other culture, the more fake the civilization is. New Zealand is different because they are the only ones who are have made an absolute effort to amalgamate their Maori past with their colonization past. But Australia hasn't. Australia does. Canada hasn't.
Australia's a mixed
bag. They're
still,
but they're fucking. It's one thing I noticed about Australia and New Zealand. Mad for English shit. Fucking mad.
It's funny.
And the way I noticed it was through stand-ups. So if you're so myself and Michael McIntyre are going out to do a tour of Australia at the same time. In terms of standard wise, okay, there wouldn't be a fierce amount of difference between me and Michael in terms of, you know, quality of show. It's a thing of taste. You know, Michael is a brilliantly funny comic. I mean, he told me one of the funniest stories I'd ever heard, where about he was driving to a gig one time and he stopped in to go for a piss in one of these lay-by fucking restaurants, and a fella came in. So Michael was up one end of the urinal and a fella came in the end of the other end of the urinal, but the fella had a kid with him, but Michael didn't see the kid. Michael thought it was just the two of them having a piss. So Michael's pissing away and then he hears your man say, "Now shake it." And he was talking to the kid, but Michael thought he was talking to him. So Michael just shook it. Anyway, he's a funny, funny man.
Yeah.
But, so the two of us are going down to Australia at the same time. Okay. Michael is on television in England.
BBC or whatever he's on.
It's on loads of different shows over there, right? He was playing to 15 and 20,000 people a night.
Because they were watching him.
Because they all watch English television in Australia. Yeah. So I don't buy this into, oh, we're anti-English, they're coming down to take... They fucking love all that soft, pale, white English bullshit.
House Hunters in the Sun.
They're sucking the tits out of English culture.
They're surrogates.
But the Maori thing is... like. So I would have nieces and nephews who are Kiwis. And I would have... my sister and my brother are living over there. And so the kids would say stuff like they would sing a Maori song in school every morning.
Yes.
The New Zealand national anthem has Maori bits in it. Mm. And it's really, they're really trying to come to terms with their culture.
More so than Australia, I'd say.
Oh, more so.
Australia is a mixed fucking... I think Australia are embarrassed about the way they've treated the Aborigines.
They've no love.
They've not...
No respect.
Fucking, they don't know how to go back and repair the past.
It's a culture built on blood.
Repair.
And until you recognise the massacre, nothing moves forward.
Give me that moment then in sport. We're coming around now.
Mine was Higgins drinking. Higgins drinking vodka.
But Higgins was
remember
afraid.
Higgins, he was drinking vodka.
You think it's water.
He lost a match in the Benson and the Hedges Masters.
Smoking.
He stayed drinking it. They can shove this game up your jacks. I'm not playing.
That's a bit of Sean Connery there.
That's a bit more like Daniel O'Donnell.
Give us a bit of Belfast.
Belfast, they can shove this game up your jacks. I'm not doing this anymore. I've made this game.
This is
the way the treatment that can shove this game up their jacks. You won't be fine.
Benson and Edges 1982 with the big collar on him.
You won't be. You
fucking
won't be
velvet
mean,
short.
Mean no more. And he headbutted a ref and took a piss in a fucking pot plant. Shove this up their jacks. Great sport, no one. Real Irishness.
Hold up.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How do you feel about loyalty? How important is it to you?
Loyalty.
Do you ever get tested on loyalty? Does it ever come up where your loyalty is
has been faltered?
Where you have to make a stand?
Yes,
it has.
Yes,
and can you describe the situation just without any legal ramifications?
It's a big thing for me to have people in your life that are loyal.
Oh yeah, very important.
How does it manifest though, loyalty?
I was always lucky to have my best friend was fully loyal to me, always was, always will, and she taught me how to be loyal to her as well, and like I learned from that. But it's such an important thing for me. I hate when you see people or you meet people
scattering and like the wind,
and they talk about their friends or the people that are close to them so willy nilly and so like, oh,
but they're not real friends. How many loyal friends have you?
I would count myself very fortunate that I would have a very solid
fan base,
solid group. But not
Would you have five loyal lieutenants?
Loyalists. I'd say I'd have eight.
Eight loyals.
Jeez, that's a fucking.
That's a lot.
It's a netball team plus the manager.
That's a fair. That's and a great. That's a great. That's a great barrage of friends to have.
Nigel Barrage.
That's a brilliant. That's a brilliant. Brood of friends to have eight.
Anyway,
loyals.
I don't know eight about loyal that. Friends. I don't know about that because I can only talk for myself, right? But me, I would be like, I am loyal to people.
And a loyal means what?
That's a terrorist organization. Eight, that's a lot, Loretta.
It's full Loretta,
these are people that are there for you. Morning, noon, and night.
You stand up for people. When you see Tommy, wrong, and it can be to your detriment, Tommy, too, because you can be loyal to someone and you cannot get it back. And
exactly,
that's fine. You've yes. to stick.
Tommy, would you have loyal people to stand by you?
Tell you what, it struck me recently is that when I it's a weird one when I get the support of my father, I don't need anything else in the world. And even though I'm 53 years of age, there's something about that relationship where I kind of feel as if, I go out in the world and I'm a public figure and I engage with the public and I try and entertain them because I'm kind of looking for something. Do you know what I mean? I'm looking for some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not appreciation or
interaction.
No, some kind of what's the word?
Approval.
Approval or something like that. I'm looking for something, some validation from the public. In a weird way, it's always kind of it's always there. And any time that my father has kind of has said to me, "Don't worry about that, Tom. You didn't do anything wrong there," or "I wouldn't worry about that, Tom. They're only, I've, that need for public approval disappears."
Yeah, yeah.
It just goes in a fucking instant. And it's almost like...
Well, that's the loyalty, you see.
I don't need anything from anybody else once I have father's validation.
Mm.
But isn't odd, like, I, you know... So
well, that's because you judge... You hold his character in high regard.
Yes.
You know that he's loyal.
Or his wisdom.
And he'd be quick to say to you the opposite.
It has nothing to do with his personal attributes. It has everything to do with the genetic role that a father plays in a son's life. It has nothing to do with his personality at all. It's to do
with... Yeah, but it's his relationship with you.
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with his wisdom. It's nothing to do with his perception. It's nothing to
do... It's father-son.
But you trust him and it's his...
Yeah, but it's not personal.
It's the placement of a father and a son.
It's the father saying to
the father figure.
He said, "You are my son in whom I am well pleased." Now that's I think God said to Jesus.
I bet he did.
At the baptism of the River Jordan.
I think.
"You are my son of whom I am well..." I'm going to say that to the lads when I pick them outside the summer field. Outside the local... "You are my sons and all of your friends of whom I am well pleased. Who am I bringing home tonight?"
So that was interesting,
Tommy,
to me.
Isn't that... But that's nice.
That I don't need anything from anybody. Now, there must have been something that I didn't get it. Or didn't feel as if I had it for years and years. Maybe
you didn't understand it.
For decades. You know what I mean? Because I am somebody who went out into the public square saying, "Look at me. Can I entertain you for your love?"
I don't think it's like...
Well, I'm just trying to think abstractly about it here.
Yeah.
But when my dad just stands behind me, it's kind of like I don't need anybody else.
Mm.
Fucking need anybody.
And has that
else.
Happened? Would you say that's happened a couple of times in the last 10 years? Or is it once in a blue moon when he doesn't say much, but when he did, you know what I mean?
It's blue moon. It's blue moon stuff. But yes. It's so powerful when it
And
happens.
Has it happened recently? Did you find that recently?
Yeah, it has happened recently.
And it gave you a little solace. The three, you said.
It was more than that. It gave me canova in me bone, in me flesh. I was reboned.
There you go.
I was standing strong, as
nice,
you know, as like, we have this great thing in common, Rita, that we're both Mayo people. I was just a strong Mayo person. I knew who I was. I was part
of drummer.
I was part of the Tiernan tribe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's nice.
So in terms of loyalty,
there's a beautiful thing there of father son.
Yeah.
And what can a father do for his son?
Yes.
It's just those little...
And if even Jesus needed it. If even Jesus needed...
So that's your loyalty. There's a loyal father. There's a father who's still remaining, that he's there for you. He's there for you like a backbone.
Yeah.
And he's loyal. The loyalty thing is just, if you don't see them from one end of the year to the other, that you know that the minute you do meet them, because we're all in different places, but they're there.
I get into trouble sometimes.
Do you see your loyal friends regularly?
Question. I'm be very vocal too. If I hear somebody being unjust to somebody else or speaking out of turn about somebody that I wouldn't have that experience about, or that...
Like the Rohingya people in Myanmar.
Northern Myanmar.
I would be kind of thing. Yeah.
The displacement of them.
A bit more relatable for me.
The treatment of women in the Yemen.
A little bit
The
more
treatment of fishermen on the Maldives.
Are you just talking about Audrey?
No, I'm just talking... No, other people. I'm just saying, if somebody wrongs somebody in front of me and I don't agree with them, I very vocally stand up about it. And I get myself into a little bit of trouble sometimes because I call people out on stuff, and maybe I shouldn't, but I think it's important to... I think it's good for you as a person to have loyalty inside of you.
When I was hopping on the plane to go over to Freddie to bring Freddie home, a friend of mine, just 3 hours before that, said, I'll fly out of this airport, and he wasn't even in Ireland. He says, "I'm going to Copenhagen with you. You're not going over on your own." I says, "What are you on about?" He says, "I'm flying out now. I'm flying here. I'll see you there. I'll be in Denmark tonight." That's loyalty.
That's love.
That's love. Yeah.
But loyalty and love are very similar things. If somebody is a loyal friend.
They both have the same first two letters, L-O. What are you laughing at,
Larissa? Tom, why are you sneering at?
What are you sneering
fucking
at?
Fucking sneer shop.
I mean, the third letter is almost the same.
We were in a beautiful place there and you're sneering.
You're a sneery tramp.
Sneer.
He's
loyalty.
Fucking, he's the one that's sneering.
Can you imagine that? And I was happening on the plane.
But that's love. That's love and respect.
I was happening on the plane and got to Denmark, and there he turned up. But loyalty and love should be cherished. because each of them is fundamental to each other. And I'll leave you with
again,
that.
Again,
no, 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 just go with it. No, go with it.
You make about as much sense as Bono does between
songs. You're flicking on if you're flicking on Instagram now, you go, oh, save, I must follow that person. Just fucking go with it. Loyalty.
But I always like.
I love a loyalist.
Confuse me
I love
so
loyalist
sometimes
people.
That I get.
Don't get confused.
Well, you confuse
when every time
me.
You go on Instagram, and I know you like this, when you're flicking away on Instagram, always remember this. You'll see somebody going, oh, don't do this, don't, and you go, I'll follow that person because it gives them a word of wisdom. There's 10,000 programmers looking at you, what you're doing in Silicon Valley, and they know everything about you. Everything. So never flick. Get off the fucking shit and listen to people around you who are wise and loyal.
Never say that to. Never say that to a woman.
And never said it to me.
Never flick. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. God bless. Good luck and goodbye.
Stay loyal.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.